pastor, and I am glad that he's streamlining things because I want to get you out in a good time. You know, it's hard to believe that we're halfway through. We had Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, so that's three services. And yes, my wife is a good preacher. I guess you found that. I mean, she's a good teacher, if you would, and I thank the Lord for her. And I told somebody as they were coming and talking to me, I'm thankful that she lives what she shares with you. And she's a living testimony of that. And I'm glad that she is along with me and able to serve along with me. And I know all the husbands here are glad to have a helper that is able to come alongside and be an encouragement. And so then we have tonight, tomorrow night, and Wednesday night. So that, if I'm right in my math, we've had three, we've got three. So you just come back tomorrow night and Wednesday night, and you have been to every one of the sessions. And I trust that they'll all be a blessing and a help to you. But I know I want to get you out early tonight so that you will want to come back tomorrow night. If I keep you here forever, you will probably say, oh, man, that guy just goes on and on and on. And so I'm not coming back no matter what he says. It's just, oh, I got to get home. I got work. I got school. And you probably heard the three greatest lies. I gave at the office. That's a lie that sometimes we'll tell. The check's in the mail. You probably use that one sometime when you got a phone call about a bill. You've heard this one. I'm from the federal government. I've come to help you. And I know there's another one. It's I'm an independent Baptist preacher, and I have a few words to say. And so I hope that we will be able to look to the Word of God together tonight, and that we'll be able to come back again tomorrow night. Next night, please keep praying for me as I pray for you. The Lord will clearly direct me as to what I should be sharing with you. And I'm trying to put in as much as I possibly can in some of these messages that God has instructed me and directed me to preach. And so I hope that you'll be listening very, very quickly, as I sometimes can be talking very quickly. Tonight, I want to give you what I think is the key to the successful home. I want to give you the key to the successful home, and I want you to turn to Psalm 37. And I hope by the end of the evening you'll understand why I think it's the key. We're going to be looking at a lot of verses tonight. You're going to have to let your fingers do the walking through the Bible as we look at different passages of Scripture together. But I want to start here in Psalm 37 because I can relate to these verses. I think that you'll recognize what I'm talking about as we read them together. It says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Starting in verse 23 of Psalm 37. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. May I say something to you? I have fallen plenty of times. How many of you have ever heard one of my sons preach? Can I see your hand if you've heard Matthew or Mark or Michael, one of those guys preach? Now, you may or may not have heard one of their illustrations on me. Now, growing up, I had the opportunity to give illustrations about them and things that they would share. But now they're sharing illustrations about me. And I'm having people come up to me and say, is the tennis shoe story true? Did you really say that to your sons one time? Did you really do that? And I have to admit, yes, they're telling true illustrations. So beware how you use your children for illustrations. It could come back to haunt you. But I am not a perfect parent. What about you? I have failed. What about you? As a matter of fact, I tell parents, if you've never apologized to your children, you have problems. You know why? You have failed before your children. They have watched you fail. One of the best things you can teach your children is how to apologize properly. I'm sorry. I did wrong. Will you forgive me? We want our children to do that. Well, guess what? It's good for us to do that as well. But he goes on and says, the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Aren't you glad that God is the God of the second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh chances? The just man falls seven times, and does he quit? No. Scripture says in Proverbs 24:16, he rises up again. And whether that's a young person or whether that's a parent, that's what we should be doing. We should be seeking to serve the Lord. And when we fail, we admit it and we get up and we go on and try to carry on for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no perfect parent. By the way, young people, there's no perfect young person either. We're all sinners. And I'll tell you, the Apostle Paul has encouraged me in Romans chapter 7 when he says, the things that I know I should do, I don't sometimes. And the things I know I should do, sometimes I don't catch myself doing. Oh, wretched man that I am. Hey, we're all sinners. The Apostle Paul was a sinner. We're all sinners saved by grace. But the Lord will uphold us if we'll just seek to do right. If we'll have that genuine heart and that genuine burden. Now, the verse 25 really is painful. Because I have been young, and now I am older. I was sharing with you in Sunday school how I played a lot of basketball growing up, and my body just doesn't cooperate with my mind anymore. I was playing not too long ago with the grandchildren, and you know, my mind tells me what I should do, but sometimes my body says no, because I have been young, but now I'm much older, and the body reminds me that I can't do what I once could do on a basketball floor, and there's a lot of things that I can't do like I once did. I have been young, but I'm not old, I'm older. Yet, I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. In other words, God is still good. God is always good. And my God shall supply all my need according to his riches in Christ Jesus. And we can trust God at all times, we read in Psalm 62 and verse 8. And for our family, we must trust God at all times. Because it's only by the grace of God that any of our children or grandchildren do right. Because it's God that has to work in them, both to will and to do his good pleasure. But I submit to you, for that to happen, we have to practice verse 23. Here's the key. The steps of a good man must be ordered by the Lord. Here he says they are ordered by the Lord. If you're doing right and you're doing the good thing, you're going to let God direct your steps. You're going to let God show you what you should do and what you shouldn't do. As a matter of fact, the scriptures tell us if we walk in the Spirit, we'll not give in to the lust of the flesh. Sometimes we spend all of our time trying to get young people to stop doing the wrong thing. You know what we need to do? Teach them how to do the right thing. Teach them how to walk in the Spirit. Teach them how to have their steps directed by the Lord. Lord willing, tomorrow in chapel, I'm going to be talking about that with the young people, helping them to try to understand a little bit about how to have your steps directed by the Lord, how to be able to know God's will for your life, because it's so important. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. In other words, he needs to have his steps directed so he knows which way he should go. Because God has a specific will for each of our children. One of my greatest fears as a dad and as a preacher was to have daddy called preachers. I didn't want my sons to preach because I was a preacher. I wanted them to preach only if God wanted them to preach. And I praise the Lord that God called them to preach, and I praise the Lord they're doing it because that's what God wants them to do. But I'd be happy if they were serving the Lord in any walk of life as a faithful Christian, if that's what God wanted them to do. Because in that passage of Scripture, Proverbs 22:6, it says, train up a child in the way he should go. And we know that every child should walk in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. But God has a specific will for each of your children, and they're all different. And they have to have their steps ordered by the Lord. Mark and Mike are identical twins. Now, it's nice that Mike now wears glasses, and his name has an I in it instead of an A, so that you can put that together. If you see one of the sons, you see the glasses, you think, I, glasses, that's Mike. But if they take their glasses off, it's very hard to tell them apart. And they were in a twin study. And in that twin study, they were identical. Their blood types were identical. Their ridge count was identical except for one finger. And they were identical twins. But you know, Mark and Michael are as different as night and day. If you know them personally, and some of you do, and your evangelist, Ron DeGard, knows them extremely well. He spent a lot of time in our home, lived there for a while. He knows them very well. He could tell you they're a lot different. Mom and Dad could tell they were different when they were born because they cried different. One of them was, and the other was, Meh. 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 And anybody that knows Mark and Mike, they could figure out which was which. And you probably could tell even by the way they preach when they come here. Because you have one that's, and you have the other that's kind of just kind of nice and calm. And well, they're neither one of them are super calm, but I mean, you know what I'm saying. And God has uniquely gifted them different, even though they're identical twins. And God has given them different directions even in life. As Mike's now a camp director and Mark's the fiery evangelist. Does that tell you who's the man? Praise the Lord. And we need to have our steps ordered by the Lord. And there's a specific will for everyone's life that we need to help our children find. But there are some general things that we all need to agree on that is God's plan for our life. And I call them priorities. Priorities. See, the key to having the right kind of home is having biblical priorities. Now, I take my priorities with me everywhere I go. I remind myself constantly of how my steps need to be ordered. Because everywhere I go, I take my hand. How many of you have a hand? Answer your hands if you have a hand. Okay, good, good, good. Now, when I look at my hand, when I put my hand out, it reminds me of my priorities. And I want you to leave tonight taking priorities with you everywhere you go. And the question is not whether or not you will remember these priorities. I think you will. The question is whether you'll live these priorities. And I'm telling you, it's the key. It's the key to having the right kind of biblical home. It's the key to seeing the blessing of God. Is to make sure our steps are ordered by the Lord and we follow these priorities. Would you turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6? Deuteronomy chapter 6, a very familiar passage of Scripture in dealing with this whole matter of education. But I want you to notice, before we get to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 7, we want to start reading in verse 4. Because here's our number one priority. You see that thumb points up. Do you all notice that? And as I put my hand out, that thumb points up because my first priority is a right relationship with God. That's my first priority. Nothing between my Heavenly Father and myself. I have a conscience void of offense before God and man. In other words, I need to make sure that God is my number one priority. Look what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 6. We'll start reading in verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. God should be first. And he says, in these words which I command you this day shall be in thy heart, that God shall be first, and thou shalt teach them to thy children. In other words, teach our children to put God first. How many of you have memorized Matthew 6:33? Seek ye, say it with me, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So simple to quote, so difficult to live. Because we have idolatry in our society, whether we like it or not. Right? We think of idolatry and we think of little potbelly statues, or we think of some sort of religious statues in a church someplace. But I'm telling you, idols can be anything that take the place of God. Now, probably wouldn't happen here because you have the Panthers as a football team. So sports probably don't become an idol to you. I don't know about this professional basketball team you have. Maybe that's one you can really get behind. I don't know. But we have the Kansas City Chiefs in Kansas City. And I'm telling you, they haven't won for a long time either. But the Royals, hey, they were in the World Series this year. And we could talk about any place you would talk, but I'm telling you, isn't it sad how sports have dominated our society? And how some people won't go to church so they can watch a ball game. Now, you're fortunate. You're on the Eastern time zone. Right? So ball games don't come on until 1. And if pastor's a good boy and gets you out, you can get to the TV so you can watch the game by 1 o'clock. In Kansas City, we're on Central Standard Time. And so the ball game started at noon. And so I preached a little extra long just to see who was walking out. And see who really had their priorities right. But hey, I have pastor friends in Denver that said their attendance is down sometimes 25% when the Broncos are in town, because you know what time they play? Mountain time? 11 o'clock. How sad that we would let sports take the place of the house of God. You see, this is a priority. Jobs take place of God sometimes, and we make our job our God. Sometimes, you know, it can be some hobby or activity. I'll tell you, parents, I am so tired of so many people getting interested in little guys' soccer and little girls' soccer and basketball. It's all on Sunday. Behind our house in Kansas City, they had several soccer fields and everything. It broke my heart to see all these boys and girls out there on Sunday morning when they should be in Sunday school. It all goes back to priorities. Is God number one? Now, by the way, if you happen to be here without Jesus Christ as your Savior, the only way you get to God is through Jesus Christ. John 14 and verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And we have to have Christ as our Savior so we can have that relationship with God. But then we need to put Him first. Love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind. Reminded about that again in Matthew chapter 22. But if we'll seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these other things will be added unto you. Our first and highest priority is to have a right relationship with God and to put Him first. Now, when you look at all these relationships, these priorities are talking about things here on this earth, things that we deal with here on this earth. This is a heavenly priority. Hallelujah. That our home is not here. Our home is in heaven. We're just a passing through. But as we look at these priorities, you know what's number one in our human relationships? Do you know what's number one? The family. The home. What we're talking about this week is the number one priority we should have here on this earth is to make sure we have the right kind of home and we have the right kind of family. It should be number one. As we said yesterday morning, it was the first institution established by God. It's the institution that God is using to give us strong churches and a strong society. It's the institution that God is using to train up another generation who will train up another generation who will train up another generation. And we need to make family number one. It needs to be private. I sometimes will have these people that will say, you know, well, there's so many other things. If I put God first and all that, won't He take care of my family? Yes, if you make it a priority. But if you all of a sudden run around and make everything else a priority and you don't give much time to your family, guess what? Your family is going to suffer. I remember when I went off to grad school and I was involved in a local church. And I went out visiting at the local church, and I was actively involved in ministry in the local church and was studying for the ministry. And I had a pastor friend, was assistant pastor, and later became the pastor of Calvary Baptist in Simpsonville, Guy Altizer. Some of you may know the name. And Brother Altizer took me aside on visitation. We were out visiting together, and he says, Carl, when's your family night? And I said, well, Guy, every night's family night at the Herbster household. I'm trying to put on this spiritual thing that, of course, always it's number one. He said, no, that's what I'm talking about. I mean, what night of the week is it that your family knows they have you and they have you 100%, there's nothing else? I mean, what night of the week is family night? And I said, well, you know, I mean, I hope they have me every night. I started to back down a little bit, and he said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go home and talk to your wife and talk to your children. And they were very young at that age, at that time. And he said, I want you to talk to them about establishing a family night so that you have one night a week that you're making sure that you're spending time with them and making them a priority and showing them a priority. So I went home and talked to Debbie and Matthew, Mark, and Michael, who were early elementary at that time. And guess what? They liked the idea. So we established Monday night as family night and decided that we would clear everything else and we would just do things together as family. And that was pretty convenient because at that time they had Monday night football, and that was pretty good for three boys. And my wife went along with the idea. And, popcorn and Monday night football could be a good thing. But a lot of times games and going out and doing activities. And all through our life, we had family night. Even when I went and got involved in the pastorate and was very much involved, we had family night on Monday nights. As a matter of fact, in our ministry, we established Mondays and Thursday nights. We tried to not schedule any church or school activities at all so families could at least have one night a week where there wasn't something else scheduled where they would have a family night because it was priority. We would encourage them to have family nights. Not that everybody would. Of course, it was very convenient. Also in Kansas City that the Royals had family night at the stadium on Monday and Thursday night. And we could pop a big bag of popcorn. And, the tickets were half price on those. Not back in those days, ancient days, you could get tickets for $3 each. The six-star tickets were only $3. And we'd get five tickets, and I'd buy them one Coke, $1 each. Whew, unbelievable. But they had a nice plastic cup so you could go get it filled up with water the rest of the night with your popcorn that you took in. $20! We'd have a nice night. And it was family night. And I made it a priority. That was what was important to me because it was my number one priority was to make sure that I was giving my family the time and the attention that they needed. And they knew it, by the way, when they became teenagers, young people, you know how busy you are. I had to ask off for a family night once in a while. When they became teenagers, they started to ask me, Dad, could we postpone family night? We've got something going on. We'd like to get with some friends. And hey, you got to be flexible in all these things. But I'm telling you, making sure that you have family as a priority and you're demonstrating that family is a priority. Yes, church is that next priority. God, family, church. But let me say something. Family takes priority over church. Now, I don't think you should forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the matter of some is. And there should never be an excuse not to be at church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night. But sometimes there's a lot of other things going on, and you can't be involved in everything. At Tri-City, we always call it a smorgasbord approach. We have more than you could ever do. You pick and choose. Be there Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. But then you have to decide as a family what you can get involved in, what you can't get involved in, what commitments you can make, what commitments you shouldn't make, because it's running your family every which way. For years there was this discussion to even us as preachers, which is more important, the home or the church? And some people would teach, well, if you'll do your job in the ministry, God will take care of your family. Would you turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3? And by the way, you ought to thank God for your pastor and his family. I'd like to hear a few amens. You are blessed. Not every pastor and his family are serving the way your pastor and his family are serving. And I personally think that pastors disqualify themselves when they're not ruling their own house well. Do you know why I think that? You know why I feel that way? 1 Timothy chapter 3. Qualifications of the pastor. And verse 4 says, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. Hey, there is no perfect parent. There is no perfect pastor. Nope. And there's no perfect pastor's kid. They make mistakes too. The question isn't whether our children will make mistakes. They will. The question is, will we deal with those mistakes? Will we handle those situations? Will we rule our house well and not allow them to just go rampant and do what they want to do instead of what God wants them to do? But I'm telling you, God makes it plain that the family takes priority over the church, because the pastor doesn't qualify to be the pastor of the church unless he's ruling his own house well. God makes it plain where those priorities are. And I thank the Lord for illustrations that I'm very familiar with, where pastors, because of a child that wasn't living for the Lord and was rebelling against the Lord, actually resigned their pastorate and said, "Nope, my family takes priority over the church. I've got to get back and get involved with the lives of my children." And they left the pastorate, took a secular job, dealt with their children. And praise the Lord, I can give you testimony of how those children turned around and responded, and how God got a hold of their hearts. And those men are back in the pastorate today. And I believe God honored them for keeping their priorities right. You see, we need to make sure that we have God first in our families, so that we can faithfully serve in our local churches, so that we can have the testimony to be able to help others train their children the way that God has given us the grace to train ours. Now, I hope you would be the kind of people that you would listen to the Bible no matter who's preaching it. Because the Bible is truth no matter who is preaching it, okay? But doesn't it help to hear it from a pastor who has a godly family? I mean, I'd listen to your pastor about instruction about the family, and he seemed to be happy with his wife, too. I mean, she seems to like him. I mean, it's praise the Lord. Why would you get counsel from somebody that can't even keep his own marriage together? Doesn't have children that are seated and clothed and in their right minds. You know, praise the Lord for godly pastors. Praise the Lord for godly people in a church that keep their priorities right. God first. Family second. Church third. And job fourth. Now, you need a job. I understand that. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 10 says, if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. Now, that's what the Bible says, not what our government says. I'm sorry to inform you of that, but it's the way it should be. I mean, I'm all for helping people get jobs. I get tired of just giving handouts. All we're doing is creating more of a problem when we just give handouts. But we all want to have a job. But job does not take priority over home and church. You shouldn't have a job that's keeping you away from your home all the time or keeping you away from the church all the time. Job is there so that you can honor God with your substance and with the first fruits of all your increase. That's called the tithe. And I'm glad Pastor's been teaching on that and challenged you to have a tithe Sunday. Might it not just be one Sunday a year? Might it be every Sunday a year? We'll talk more about finances, the Lord willing, tomorrow night, and the importance of that in our homes. But I'm telling you, the reason you work is so that you can honor God with your substance and with the first fruits of all your increase, so that you can take care of your family and meet the needs of your family. I had an individual one time that was struggling financially to take care of his family, and I always give them a budget and I always say, here's what you need to fill out, tell me kind of where things are. And he was given 30% of his income to the local church, but wasn't paying his light bill, and he was coming to us and wanting us to help him with our special needs fund to pay the light bill. Folks, that's wrong. That's not right. God doesn't demand out of you 30%. Hey, if you can give 30%, hallelujah. I do believe we should give above our tithes and our tithes as offerings. Malachi 3 says, where have you robbed me? He didn't just say with tithes. He also said with offerings. In other words, praise the Lord when you can do more than your tithe to help out in the worldwide missions of this church. But your responsibility, your priority is to honor God, take care of your family, and take care of your church. And may I tell you something? If everyone in this church would honor God with their tithe in their local church, this church would be taken care of. But because some of you honor God more than just the tithe, you do tithes and offerings, praise the Lord, God takes care of His work. He always does. The person that loses is the person that's not tithing. They're the ones that miss the blessing of the Lord. But Our priority should be to work so we can honor God, take care of our family, and support the work of the church all around the world. That's the reason we work. But how sad that people will put work over their church or put work over their family. This is something that I taught consistently at Tri-City, keeping your priorities right. And it really helps when you have a pastoral ministry and teach things over and over and over, because sometimes I'd have men come to me and they say, you know, my company's offering me a transfer. And they're offering me a lot more money to transfer. Now, where does that fit on the priority list? Company. Their business. Where does that fit in the priorities? Right here, right? Okay, so I said, all right, let's evaluate this. Is there a good church in the area for your family? And many times I would say, is there a good Christian school in the area for your family? Would God be pleased with you taking a promotion where you could make more money and it would hurt your family because you don't have a good church and a good Christian school? And you'd be amazed. It didn't take long for people to start that. Now, hallelujah, there are times you can take promotions and go places, and there are good churches and good schools. And I know, as a pastor in Kansas City, when a family would be coming to check out our church and our Christian school because they were considering a transfer or a new job in Kansas City, those are the people I wanted to take out to eat. Those are the people I wanted them to fellowship with everybody in the church, because those people had their priorities right. They were checking it out before they made the decision. They weren't going to dishonor God by putting their family where there wasn't a good church. But I also know of some families that made the wrong decisions and paid the price. Because I'm telling you, folks, God honors obedience. I give you a blessing, I give you a curse. I give you a blessing if you obey the commands of the Lord your God. I give you a curse if you disobey the commands of the Lord your God. And I didn't play, you know, a spoiler with them. There's no good church anywhere except Tri-City. You're compromising somewhere by leaving Kansas. And I felt like it sometimes, because when you have good families that take it. But God has His plan. May I say something to you? God's work is bigger than any one local church. And God sometimes is moving people to use them other places. And that's what we're all about, is doing God's work and sending them out, as long as their priorities are right. But I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 2. And let's look at a passage of Scripture that was read to us on Sunday morning. And let's focus in on a little section of Philippians chapter 2. Because in verses 3 through 5, it says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem," what's the next word? "Other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you who is in" who? "Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of us." What's God telling us? We should be last. You see this little tiny finger here? That represents me. That represents you. God's first. Family is my priority here on earth. Church, yeah, I have to have a job to take care of all those. But I should be the last consideration. How many of you are familiar with John chapter 13, where Jesus was washing the disciples' feet? He got finished washing the disciples' feet and says, "You know what I've done to you? You know, you understand? He says, I've given you an example that you should do as I have done. What had he done? He had learned to serve others. Instead of being served, he learned to serve. He showed us how to serve others. As a matter of fact, Jesus said the Son of Man didn't come to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Moms and dads, when we learn that we're servants in our homes, serving the Lord and serving our family, what a difference it will. You know, men, we talked about leadership last night. I'll tell you a good time of leadership, servant leadership. And in John chapter 13 and verse 17, would you turn over there? I want you to see this verse, and if you've never underlined it, I would encourage you to underline it, but more importantly, I would challenge you to memorize it. This is a key. You want to have joy in your home? You want to have happiness in your home? You want to have peace in your home? You want the Lord to bless your home? He says in John 13 and verse 17, would you read it with me? Together. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. If you know what things? If you know how to serve. If you know how to put yourself last instead of yourself first. It's like that Patch the Pirate song, right? You know, Patch drives some things home sometimes, you know. Captain, me first. Me first. How many of you boys and girls or young people have ever heard Captain, me first? May I see? I know. I'm cycling back through all that stuff now as a grandparent. Yeah, it was enough to get it once. Now I got to get it twice. And hey, if I live for grandchildren, I'll probably get it three times. But I'm telling you, that me first. And sad to say, that's our human nature. Not just our children's human nature. That's our human nature as adults. I want what I want when I want it. Wrong priority. It's not me first. It's me last. And if I will learn how to serve others, I will learn how to serve my wife. I'll learn how to serve my children. Oh, yes, and serving them is correcting them. We'll talk more about that later this week. But I mean, well, I will not be the one that has to have my way all the time. I'm willing to give up my rights for the rights of others, as Jesus Christ was willing to do. Humbled himself and was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He was willing to give his life for us. And we always want our way instead of letting God have his way. Folks, I'm telling you, if the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and if we know these things, we're going to be blessed. We're going to be happy. We're going to be joyful. And we're going to see God doing a wonderful work in us and in our families. It takes the right priorities. What are they? What's first? Then what? Then what? Then what? And isn't it sad? In our society, it's just upside down. Right? I mean, the average person in our society is just upside down. Me first. That's what humanism is all about. Taking God off the throne, putting man on the throne, and worshiping, serving man. And what I want, and when I want it, fulfilling the desires of man. Me first. That's our society today. You owe me. I deserve it. I have my rights. Me first. And then, yeah, I want a job. And if I don't have a job, you owe me a job. And if I can't find a job, you pay me as if I have a job. Listen, people will look for jobs a little bit more. When they don't work, they don't eat. But church, well, okay, church is a good place to make contacts. I was in marketing for 7 years. I know how you can make contacts. And as long as the church will help me with my contacts and help me with my career, I'll be in the right church and have some status and show up once in a while. Family? Well, yeah, to meet my needs. Because I want what I want when I want it. And boy, I need a family to meet my needs and do what I want when I... And if not, I'll find another one. By the way, can I tell you something? If it's me first, you take me with you wherever you go. And it won't be any better till me changes. Until I become a servant. Why do you see families all around us being destroyed? Because only by pride cometh contention. Proverbs 13 and verse 10. And we have a lot of pride. And God, who needs God? We've kicked him out of our schools, and we're trying to kick him out of our society. Listen, folks, we all need God. Without him, we can do nothing. So what's the key? Letting your steps be ordered by the Lord. Making sure that you have a right relationship with God. Can I tell you something? If you hide sin in your heart, he'll not hear you. But hallelujah, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Proverbs 18:13 says it this way, he that covereth his sin, you don't admit that you have it, shall not prosper. But whosoever confesseth and forsaketh it. It's not enough just, sorry. No. Not desiring to do it again. The broken heart of David in Psalm 51. A broken and contrite heart he'll not despise. Keeping a right relationship with God. Keeping my family my priority. Making those hobbies be secondary. Hey, unless I can do them with my family, that's not that important. I need to make sure I'm scheduling time in my week for my family. Whether it's a family night or whether it's family devotions or whether it's just some time having fun playing games, whatever. We need to make sure that we're giving family the time that they need and having the communication with family. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together in the local church. And by the way, this is a great Monday night attendance. I thank the Lord for... I told Pastor last night when I saw the number we're back for Sunday night, I was encouraged. Most churches, it's not that way. Praise the Lord. Keep it up. You sometimes don't think your kids are getting it. They are. It's amazing what I hear my children teaching my grandchildren now that I go, really? Was that you saying that? I mean, even from the child, the Bible teaches us they need to know the scriptures that will make them wise unto salvation. So keep them in a good church. And don't let job pull you away from family or church. And when the job pays you, make sure you're honoring the Lord. Make sure you're taking care of your family. Make sure you're taking care of your church. And you have to crucify yourself daily. Oh, maybe you don't. I do. Because I'm telling you, I can be very selfish. I can be very self-centered. And you know when we start having problems as a couple? When I get that way. Instead of putting me last. Instead of me first. The steps of a good man should be ordered by the Lord. You can delight in his way. And you can see God blessing your home. And using your home for his glory. Heads bowed and eyes are closed. Nobody looking around.